listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live from Las Vegas on 200 FSR stations across this great nation. 6 Eastern, 3 here in Vegas. New Year's Eve won't quite be a party, but you know, if you make money, it's about as good as any party can be, Brad, wouldn't you say? If I said there's the best party you could ever imagine, Prince incarnate is going to be there playing 1999, etc., or I'll give you $200,000 in cash. You got to sit alone in your bedroom.
Oh, $200,000 cash.
I would do it for $2,000.
I would
cash.
Do it for $2,000.
Well, you heard him. He's in studio. Brad Powers. He's a pro who knows. He's already won money for you with his college underdogs. Getting a lot of thanks for that on Twitter. People like that a lot. Fezzik. Off of the Fezzik family compound. He'll be back.
A new compound from last week?
Hey, listen, when you're affluent like he's affluent, it's something I read about in like the Rob report and such. Usually each holiday, there's a different locale. It's like you heard about the Kennedys would go to like Martha's Vineyard for certain things. the Fezziks. Very similar. Now, on the opposite side of the spectrum, you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And on a day in which we will talk about college football bowl games, we'll be talking about the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. What is the Vegas lead?
I believe that it's the Cleveland Browns because not only does it have an effect on a recent number one pick, not only does it affect one of the biggest stories of the NFL year, the Browns and how they were supposed to be a borderline playoff team, and they massively disappointed. Not only does it cover the FSR story of Baker Mayfield and Colin Cowherd, I think it says something about ownership and how maybe if you could just know one thing about an NFL team, and then you had to predict how successful that team would be in the next decade, the ownership and the way they approach it is probably that one thing, Jonas.
That's right. And GM John Dorsey is now out in Cleveland. They made the announcement over the weekend that head coach Freddie Kitchens is gone. But now John Dorsey, the next victim in Cleveland as they clean house there trying to look towards the future.
You know, one of the things I'm proud of is that the intelligence of the Straight Out of Vegas audience at pregame.com with Straight Out of Vegas, we not only have gutsy people with a light to bet, though about half of you guys don't even bet, we've got, though, people who want to think about life in a analytical way, in a way of like, I'm not going to make a decision because of my emotions, I'm going to make a decision because of my brain. And I love that because I can speak to the audience at a high level, at the highest level I can. I don't hold back. I share what I feel. I don't say, oh, my audience can't comprehend that. That's foolish. Now, listen, I've seen some of the audiences at some other shows. They couldn't comprehend it. Our show, no problem. I love it. Now, think about this. Some of you are super wealthy. Some of you are in college. There's all these different things. But I do believe the one factor is we got a thinking audience. Now imagine if you're not here yet, that you're worth not a million, not 10, not 20, a billion, maybe billions. Now think about the success you've had at that point, especially if you made the money, not your family, not your dad. Okay. Now also imagine that you own a team. Maybe that's the key. And everywhere you go in that city, doors are opening, and even other billionaires are thinking, oh, if I get in good with with Frankie, maybe I'll have box seat. You can buy a lot of things. There's some things you can't buy. Hanging out with the owner, let's say you're in Pittsburgh and hanging out with the Rooneys, it's hard to buy that.
Yep.
And as the show Billions mentioned, and I think it's a great point, and Bill, I like Billions. It's such a fun show. But I also think it gives you kind of inside New York City, really inside New York City's billionaire club, how they think. And once you got so much money, it's not about the money anymore. You try to buy other things, right? And
Wags, 5 sticks wired now to Wendy Rhodes' personal account.
And then you're, wiring off $5 million on a whim sometimes. But what we know is this, if you're the guy that's sitting at the top as the owner, it's hard to be humble. And that's the whole point. You got a brilliant person most of the time that's been affirmed every step of the way, every door's open, sits at the head of every table, and now you got to tell him, dummy up. Archie Bunker style to eat it, dummy up. What do you mean, dummy up? You don't know anything about football, so you just shut up and smile. Mm. It doesn't go together.
Yep.
Right? Some people, the old Socrates line, a smart person knows what he doesn't know, or the other way to say that, I guess, and I think the way I like it best is a man who knows what he doesn't know knows a lot. Right? And what are the factors that seem to lead to great ownership? Let's look at the Rooneys. Let's look at Kraft. Who else is on the list? We know who isn't on the list right now, Jerry Jones.
Yep.
If it comes to winning, now, if it comes to we're grading how fast the ownership stake of the Cowboys has appreciated, then Jerry Jones sits at the head of that table probably.
Yep.
He's a genius at that. At building winning football teams, he's not. And the reality is he's run off some really good coaches. Jimmy Johnson, you could make the case, is the best coach of the last 50, or after Belichick, could you really be thinking, that guy's an idiot, he thinks Jimmy Johnson's the second best coach?
No.
I mean, not saying you agree, but he's in that.
And certainly.
Couldn't you say the same thing about Bill Parcells?
Yep, absolutely. So, in the top five, both guys.
And somehow they couldn't let, a great owner doesn't run off the most talented people in history, usually. So what are we talking about? The Browns want to win. And the Rooneys, the Kraft, I think it speaks to this. Have a guiding culture that nothing is bigger than. Winning, it's nice. It's not bigger than this. And usually those things are going to be pretty small, meaning you can write them on a tablet, a stone tablet, and come down from the mountain with it. You got to be simple, whatever that culture is. Execute on that, enforce that like it is from the mountaintop and on a stone tablet. And then otherwise, let your people do their thing, right? So it's not be an absentee owner. Because then what ends up happening is the organization has no culture. But it's not micromanage. Because if you're hiring the smartest football people, you're smart. But they're smart. So now the question is, who's got the domain expertise, as they call it in business? Who understands this area? And let's give credit. Mike Lombardi, friend of the show, if you listen to Mike Lombardi, you understand he's a little bit, at minimum, frustrated that he's never had the success as the number one guy that he feels like that he could, right? So here's a guy that literally was around the 49ers and Bill Walsh for a long time. So now you're around one of the great team builders of all time. Around Al Davis, who at the end, Al Davis maybe was making some bad decisions. Al Davis did a lot of smart things in his football life. And then you have Belichick, the Lombardi's spent a lot of years with. And now you're thinking, this guy's been as successful as you can imagine. And he has, as a number two, as a guy in the picture, but not the guy at the center of the picture. So what I think it's offered us as listeners with him in his book, an opportunity, is to listen. What does he think the teams have done wrong? You know, in his case even, he was the Browns GM not that long ago, Mike Lombardi. Didn't work out for him either. Yeah. And what he's talked about with Haslam specifically is the idea that Haslam has all of, and this is my description of what I've heard him say, so if I say a little off, well, I'm trying. Haslam is a very intelligent guy. That's how you get rich. He also wants to be receptive to the best way to do things, meaning he's often saying, what book should I read about this? What do you think we're doing wrong here? What do you think this team did wrong with this deal? He's always taking in new information. And that's something that I've seen almost without fail. Anyone super successful, the information flow really matters to them. Because they imagine if you're looking to buy a new car and there's a half price sale and Sunday you look at the paper and it was Saturday's paper and it's over. Like, you can be really smart, but if you just knew that sale was happening, you would have saved 50%. Yeah. Knowing the information is the starting point. But then your ability to assess that information, to make decisions about it. So it's like seeing the chessboard is one thing. That's the information flow. Knowing what move to make next based on that information, that's where the IQ comes in. Well, almost every owner is smart. So what's left? What did Haslam not have or doesn't have? There's no overriding culture. There isn't those tablets from above that all this has to be filtered through. All the info has to be filtered through this, whatever it is. So it seems like him being the Browns owner, so hot and cold, mercurial would be the advanced word, is the idea he one day he's saying this. I mean, think about it. This Dorsey firing, correct me if I'm wrong, I would bet a lot of money, unless there's proof otherwise, that at the time Freddie Kitchens was fired, the owner wasn't certain he was going to let Dorsey go.
I agree with that.
Because why not do it at the same time? Right. Because whatever, I mean, Jonas, that's an interesting question, is if you knew you were going to fire Dorsey, wouldn't you shorten the life span of this story? And this is really this conversation is a story about the Browns' failure. Ultimately, it's about failure. This year failed. Why wouldn't you want to shorten that conversation in the media? And if you would want to shorten it, why wouldn't you fire them both at once?
Yeah, no, that's would be the smart thing to do if you knew at the time he was gone anyways. But the story that's out there is that they went to Dorsey with the idea of reshuffling some things, and Dorsey did not agree to it, and so they're calling it a mutual parting of the ways.
Now, that's fascinating. Imagine if you're Dorsey and you've got the cojones to be this much of a failure, because let's be candid, this was a failure this year. And let's be candid. Baker Mayfield, if he was put into this upcoming draft, where would he go?
Oh, man. Like this upcoming draft? Yeah. Late first round at best. Like the fourth or fifth quarterback taken.
Okay. Does that sound right to you, Jonas?
Yeah, that seems about right.
So you took an asset, the number one pick in the draft. You paid the asset for 2 years. You washed it. Cleaned it, combed it, and now 2 years later, your asset is worth, you know, on that chart where they have, we'll look at that actually and take a break, is they have the old Jimmy Johnson chart, right? Like a first pick is worth 3,000 points. What's the 33rd? So your guess would be what? Baker goes 33rd?
Yeah, I can see that.
That seems high. What do you think, Jonas?
Early second round. I don't know if it's that early, though.
All right, so let's assume we'll say 40th. He's going 40th. All right, so when we come back, we're going to tell you how much Baker Mayfield has depreciated. Yes, he's a human. We don't care. He's an asset to us for this conversation. And that speaks to, quite frankly, the failure that Dorsey managed. And oh, by the way, Dorsey's still giving orders, it seems. That is off. And also, college football, January 1st, just around the corner. How do you make money?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will dive back into maybe the biggest mess in the NFL.
And you know what that means. It's a color. It's brown. Maybe I hate the Browns more than I should, but I grew up where I was an hour from Pittsburgh and like 2.5 hours from Cleveland. And it always struck me, what kind of idiot. Now, remember, I grew up in the 70s, you know, so I was 5 years old in 75. The Steelers won, you know, 4 Super Bowls between the ages of 5 and 10. It was easy for me to be a Steeler fan. But there'd be kids that were like my age that were Browns fans. And I thought, if there's ever a chance where you're on the border so you could be either and not look like you're a front runner. Like, if you live in the heart of Cleveland and you're a Steelers fan, you know, that says something.
Yeah.
But if you got a choice, if you're in one of those regions where you can choose and you choose the worst instead of the best, I guess you could still remember Jim Brown back then. And but I don't know. I don't like the Browns. I will admit it. Speaking of success, you're listening to the fastest growing show on FSR, and really 150% this year alone. It's kind of great, the last day of the year, to celebrate that 150% growth. You can listen on all those FSR stations nationwide, foxsportsradio.com, also iHeartRadio app and SiriusXM, and anytime podcast, just search for RJ Bell. Right now, here in Vegas on the strip, 57 degrees, and the neon is twinkling.
So, RJ, we talked about the Cleveland Browns, who have made another move, this time to their front office. John Dorsey, general manager, is out in what they're calling a mutual parting of the ways, which means the future is again up in the air for Cleveland.
Are you a Prince fan, Jonas?
He's got a couple of good songs.
Just a couple?
Yeah. Some of it stinks, to be honest with you.
Oh, listen, this guy's not... Because Prince is like a critic's darling. Jonas is just a... Were you popular in high school?
No, not at all.
No, come on. You're good. I mean, all joking aside, you're a good-looking dude. So you had to be popular to some degree.
No, I mean, I had friends, but I just was, I don't know. I've never
How many people
guy.
Were in your high school?
Jeez, I don't...
Come on, you know that.
I don't know. Like,
how many people graduated with you?
Oh, a couple hundred.
Okay, yeah. So a couple hundred.
Yeah.
All right. But you didn't play football, though?
No, I did. Yeah.
So what year did you start starting?
I didn't start at all. I was terrible. I was tiny. I didn't hit a growth spurt until after I got out of high school.
So that's fascinating. So literally your senior year, you weren't starting.
No, I was terrible.
But you still played.
I got a couple of plays. There was nothing.
But what I'm
really...
saying is you stayed on the team.
Yeah, stayed on the
Everyone
team.
Everyone I knew that went out for a sport, if they hit the end of their junior year and they didn't have any success, they usually didn't play their senior year, right? Because it was like, why? I'm no good at this. I've tried, right? Jonas being kind of like Rudy a little bit in a way.
Yes.
I mean, like did you like really like that movie when it came out?
I liked it until I found out a lot of it was fake. And then
but forget the truth. The truth doesn't matter in this case. It's a movie.
Who didn't like Rudy?
You loved the movie.
Yeah, it was great.
I gotta tell you, it's just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name.
Jonas.
Not even close.
And look at it. He's on national. I mean, him and Gottlieb's hanging out, playing horse at the company picnic, and he couldn't even start his senior year in high school. I mean, America, this is America, baby.
Miracles do happen.
Back to the Browns. We got to finish this. It's crazy that Dorsey would come in and say, No concessions. In fact, I want to raise. Sounds like you almost said that. Almost.
Yeah.
So we did the math here. And actually, this is a Twitter friend of mine that put this together. It's Pro Football Reference. So this is actually... Okay. This is actually, I think, a newer version that this isn't... No, this is the Jimmy Johnson version. Okay. So there's a newer version. It's a little different, but it doesn't matter because we're just talking broad strokes here. How much is a number one pick in the draft worth? Okay. And then how much is... And we're looking at the 32nd pick? What do you... I thought we said
the 40th. The 40th pick's 500.
All right. So the 40th pick is 500... And the first, that units of value, let's just say $500 it's worth. The first pick is worth $3,000. So 6X. So if we assume and ask yourself this question, where would Baker Mayfield go in this year's draft? It doesn't matter how many quarterbacks there are, because we're not talking first pick, second pick. We're saying this guy would go about 40th. And if you really disagree... I think you're in the minority. Tweet me at RJ in Vegas. Any good ones saying, no, he'd be the eighth pick. Well, I want to hear it. No one here disagrees, right, Jonas?
That seems
you're saying about
right.
About 40.
Yeah.
Now you could say, well, he's older 2 years, so there's less of a career. We're splitting hairs at this point.
Yep.
What's the odds? Another way to look at it, that not next season. Not the season after, but the season after. So the start of the third year from now, that Baker Mayfield is an NFL starter.
Oh, wow. I give you 5-1.
You're saying 5-1 he's not?
He's not.
Okay.
By his fifth year? Yeah.
I'll bet you.
Okay.
I'll take the 5-1. So you want to do a thou to win 5?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Oh, my God. We're going to remember this.
Clip it.
All right. So let's make that bet clear. And we got to define it. We'll do this and then we'll talk about it. But I'll do it real quick now. Is if they enter the year where all the magazine, where the organization, the team, in either the NFL or Arena Football. Oh, no. It's just NFL only?
Yeah.
Right.
NFL only.
I didn't hear that. All right. Yeah. But no. Is in the NFL that they're saying our starter is Baker Mayfield. Meaning, for example, Cam Newton... was the planned, maybe that's the way to say it, the planned starter. The intention is to start him. If he's the second stringer and the guy gets hurt in preseason and starts, you win, right? But by the same token, he wasn't a planned starter.
Yep.
By the same token, if he's the planned starter, blows out his knee, okay. I win. So we can, and the magazines will be a good gauge of that, right? All right. What odds would you put on that, Jonas?
I don't know about odds, but I would say he's a starter.
Yeah, I think that I was going to say 50-50. You went wild in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, I did. That's all right.
And now I have a $5,000 winner just percolating out there.
Brad,
now I got to start. Now here's the question, though. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We are a national radio show, a fast growing one. I heard.
Yep.
I mean, think about it. It's Dan Patrick. It's Colin Cowherd. It's Doug Gottlieb, Jonas's buddy. And then there's us. We're in that group. Now, listen, we're in the back of that picture.
Yeah, back of the bus.
We're in the back.
Yeah.
But we're in the picture.
Yep.
If I start just doing deep dives, I put the whole pregame.com analytics department on finding positive Baker Mayfield trends that I try to affect the national narrative. Could I, in some small way, increase my equity in my bet?
You probably could.
Okay.
I don't even say probably. I think you would.
I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but that's
people tend to listen to what we say.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. I would say Vegas thinks Baker Mayfield is the seventh best quarterback, like right now. And then I'd be out of a job. So that wouldn't work for us. All right. I think what we can say is this. To some degree, we don't know. Meaning... is Haslam making all the right decisions? I don't know, right? What I know is Mike Lombardi was on the inside and Haslam was around, and it's his belief that there isn't enough of this is the way it needs to be regardless, And what ends up happening if you don't have the Ten Commandments, let's say, to guide you, is you feel a need to micromanage. And I can speak from experience as a guy that went from having no employees when I was, you know, in college, I didn't have some side. And then when I moved to Vegas 22 years ago, it would be in January, I had one or two. They were my old friends, though, so I knew how to manage them a little bit, but I didn't really. But I trusted them. As you kept going, I've hired 50 people. Now, there's not 50 people working right now at this second, but over the years. And I made a lot of mistakes. I'm not a natural manager. And what I figured out was this. If you have guidelines, if you have those 10 commandments, you trust people. If you know that they're doing those 10 things, you don't need to worry about what they're doing. All you got to do is have those 10 commandments and have a check-in every month. How much money did you make? Like, if that's the only thing, did you follow these 10 rules? Yes. How much money did you make? Blah, blah, blah. If the number's good and they followed the rules, you're happy. It's just hard to make that list, right? So what we know is to some degree you could critique the Browns by their wins. And if the Haslam looked at it that way, you're in trouble. To, you know, it makes sense that the Browns are clearing house. But it's also wins are a lagging indicator. Oftentimes in any business endeavor, there's leading indicators and lagging indicators. The last thing that happens is you win the Super Bowl. That isn't when you say, oh, I got a good coach. Yeah. You know you have a good coach. You know you have a good GM from the leading indicators. And to me, that's culture. To me, that's, is our team disciplined? Is our team enthused? And if you think about those metrics, forget the wins or not winning, the losses. Think about, how much have the Browns built a culture that you can say, that's Browns football? If you say, that's Browns football, sadly, you think, oh, they must have fumbled.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, what could you say that that's Browns football? Right? If you say that's Steelers football, you get it.
Yes.
It's tough, hard nose. Yep. I don't think they have a culture. So that's a leading indicator. Also, how enthused are the players to be part of the organization? Come get me.
Yeah.
And it's, you could say, oh, OBJ is a problem, but it seems like it's more than that. And to me, in 2019, I'll say that for the last time probably, it's tougher than ever to build a business or a team the way that it was done in the past and succeed. You know why? Because in general, everything I said seems to back up discipline, hard-nosed coach, kind of guy that doesn't put up with crap. Because historically, those coaches have done best.
Yep, Saban, Belichick.
Yeah, but that's even today they're able to do that. But go back in time. You know, whoever, Chuck Noll, Bill Walsh, they weren't all throwing clipboards. They all were their way or the highway.
Yes.
It seems like one of the great questions of the next couple years is, as millennials, you know, become more and more a part of society in a way in which they are dictating things, or at least they're going to be potentially your quarterback, potentially, how does their mentality, which seems so opposite of hard-nosed old-school football type, Baker Mayfield, I think, is the first millennial quarterback in that, not when he was born, but his mindset. He doesn't seem like a guy from 10 years ago. He seems like he could only be today. If you threw Baker Mayfield back in 1980, he'd be so out of place.
Yep.
Tom Brady could have fit right into 1980.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So in a weird way, whatever generational divide is reality today, Baker Mayfield is emblematic of it. And what I find fascinating is a team that needs a dose of old school more than any team I've ever seen has the newest age quarterback.
Yeah.
No wonder we've talked about it so much. We're going to talk a little more NFL. J.J. Watt, what's he mean to the game?
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now, we will have Best Bets here, your chance to make a little bit of cash on a Tuesday heading into the new year. Want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, Isaac has an interesting turn of mind. I think he'd be interesting. Usually guys like that I don't like because they all try to be witty and they're not really witty. I think he is, actually. Is he?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He won't let me speak to him. He kind of closes himself off.
Well, then he's got, something then? Because, I mean, I think we would just say hi in the hall, very quickly. So I might like Isaac.
I mean, you'd be lucky if you get that from him. I mean, he's very, kind of close.
See, that's just you. That's just you, Jonas.
Okay, good.
Jonas misrepresents our relationship. It's hard to talk to him when Jonas won't allow me to look at him in the eye.
Well, listen, this is all, again, we could do a couple hours on all this. But what we know for sure is that that Jonas is not like the average person. Good or bad, he's not average. I don't like average, so that's a good thing for me. Isaac, I'll give you a tip. Is get a hold of the bowl and tell them all you need to do is get a milk sponsor. Now, think about it. I don't know. What's a brand of milk?
Well, we have Altadena locally. They're like a big dairy
Maltadena.
Altadena.
Right.
Altadena,
so yeah. So Tony the Tiger, whatever's paying whatever for the bowl, right?
Yep.
Okay. If they came in and said for 1/5 as much, so let's say they were paying $5 for a mill. There's a milk company. So it won't be your milk bowl, but whatever we have any collateral around the marketing, the milk that's sitting there is yours. All of a sudden, now they could probably get somewhere around 20% of the branding costs or sponsorship costs in addition. So go ahead, Isaac. I'll take 10% if you're able to make any money.
Would you say that the milk company is going to be skimming 10% off the top?
Okay, I hear your point. Can you close his mic real quick?
It's unbelievable.
No, that was actually good, unfortunately. God darn it. All right. That was good. I got to think on it, though, because I think it's good. I would have done it a little differently, though. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. So, Brad, J.J. Watt, we can sit and speculate what his coming back means. Let's look at the market. What are we seeing?
No reaction, RJ.
None.
None. Houston still a 2.5-point favorite against Buffalo on Saturday.
And yesterday?
2.5.
2.5. Wow. So that could mean one of two things. One, that it was assumed that J.J. Watt was going to play, and now this is just no news. It's not really news. Jonas, you got your fingertips on the media. I know we speculated at various points that he could come back this year. Was it almost expected he was going to come back for this game?
There were definitely conversations about it. I think they anticipated there was a good shot he was going to be back.
Okay. So maybe it's a little bit of that and a little bit of, hey, he's older. I mean, hey, oftentimes, if I say the name Mickey Mantle, it sounds impressive, but, he's not going to help you win any World Series this year. I think J.J. Watt's not dead, obviously, but he is not the guy that was winning MVPs or whatever.
Yep.
Or potentially in the conversation. This line seems short to me.
It does.
So let's think about what it's saying. Yeah. So the game is where?
It is in Houston, and Houston's a 2.5-point favorite.
All right. So what kind of the basic premise of the NFL, home team, the home field advantage is worth 3.
Yep.
So if you're laying 2.5, that means the opponent is better.
Yep.
Does that seem right?
It doesn't. I would think Houston's a slightly better team. I'm surprised this line isn't 3.5, RJ.
That if you would have done the guess the lines, it would have been what line?
It would have been Houston minus 3.5.
And at some point, you should mention who they're playing.
They're playing Buffalo.
All right, All right, so you're saying the question is the Bills, are they as good as Houston? And really, the marketplace is saying, no, they're better. The Bills are better than Houston. Jonas, you agree that would have surprised you?
I'm not that surprised. Houston.
So you think the Bills are better than Houston?
They've looked better down the stretch for sure.
All right. I don't know. When we come back, Brad, you got a best. Do you have a bonus bet?
I have two best bets.
Not one.
One tonight and one tomorrow on New Year's Day.
And how much is it going to cost?
Free. You got to stay and listen.
Well, that means there's other joys because we got Isaac's mic off. He's done. All right.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted, and it's money-making time next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Right out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Guys, it is a busy couple of days in college football, and we are going to get it started with the Citrus Bowl coming up 1 Eastern time tomorrow. It is Alabama, and it's Michigan. Right now on pregame.com, Alabama, 7.5-point favorite.
You know, Jonas has such a great voice. I mean, we know that. He's a smooth as silk. So smooth, you almost are suspicious of him. You know those people who are so smooth? I've never had this experience. So we had Sinatra playing, right? End of the year, great song. And underneath, you know, Jonas is talking and Sinatra's underneath. I've never heard the lyrics of songs. I'm always listening to Jonas. I couldn't hear what he was saying. Even with Sinatra so low in the mix, Jonas just paled. It was like Jonas, Jonas had a voice like Mickey from Rock, you know, because it's compared to Sinatra. You feel that, Jonas?
Listen, it's hard to compete with. I mean,
it's the hardest.
Yeah.
Women weaken legs.
I mean, you sounded like that.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I am a conspiracy guy in that follow the money. That's my conspiracy. There was all this talk about Bama, all this talk about, oh, they dropped, you know, they were held accountable for their loss. What is probably the bowl game other than the playoffs that had the most interest this year?
Michigan, Alabama.
Oh, but it wasn't a big six.
Yeah.
BS. This is the game. What do you see happening?
I like the over here. And hear me out.
Well, what's the total, first of all?
The total's 58. I like over 58. And you got to have questionable motivation on Alabama's side. And when you have questionable motivation, where does that usually show? Defensive intensity. And we've seen it with a couple of Alabama players sitting this game out. Two of their best defensive players sitting out. But all...
So they're declaring for the draft.
Declared for the draft. Linebacker Terrell Lewis, cornerback Trevon Diggs, out declaring for the draft. But on the other side of the ball, where Alabama's excelled this year, all their phenomenal wide receivers are playing, and that's where I expect Alabama to have success. We watched Ohio State.
All right, so you're saying in general, the players that are going to be gone hurt the defense.
Yes.
And you're saying if there is a decrease of intensity, it hurts the defense.
Yes.
Thus, you like the over.
I like the over. Over 58.
Now, you do realize you have a genius head coach,
yep,
Saban, against a bully and Harbaugh, who, quite frankly, has an OC that hasn't turned out to be very good.
Agree.
So you're expecting them to score a bunch.
I do expect it.
He smells.
I don't like that. I think that Alabama, because of the fact that there's been questions about is the dynasty over, this is a statement game for Bama. Maybe some guys are worrying about their own paycheck. That's fine. But I think the players that are going to play are going to play hard.
We got not one, but two best bets from Brad Powers. Before we get to that, do want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service with over 5,600 locations nationwide. AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone, the first of two best bets, Brad Powers.
It would have been so much better if Sinatra did that.
Yeah, Outback Bowl tomorrow. Best bet is going to be on Auburn, -7. Huge disparity in strength of schedule here. Auburn played one of the toughest schedules. Minnesota didn't. And I don't think that always gets factored into the handicap and the pricing here. Another reason that I'm concerned for Minnesota, that's Auburn's opponent. Just a couple days ago, Minnesota unexpectedly lost their offensive coordinator, made a lateral move to become the Penn State offensive coordinator. I think there's disruption at Minnesota. Best bet for me, Auburn -7.
Now, we talked about this a ton in the podcast. You can just search RJ Bell. There's this straight out of Vegas. There's also the Dream Preview. To me, the move makes no sense. There has to be real disruption. But I wouldn't say Minnesota to Penn State's a lateral move. It is positionally,
yes,
but it's a better program. Real quick, you got a best bet on this Texas game. We disagree. We've that it. Yep. I've got
Utah.
Utah, you've got Texas. Real quick, though, make your case.
Cluster injuries for Utah that aren't being properly priced in the marketplace. Why? It's at the defensive secondary for Utah. Not one, but two of their All-American players in that secondary out for this game. And this will be the first game that they are out. One got hurt in the Pac-12 title game. The other one sitting this game out, leaving for the NFL.
Here's what you need to know. If Texas is getting a bunch of points and this line hasn't moved against a team that isn't perceived to be a national power, if the public's not pounding Texas, it's a sign that the bookies aren't afraid of Texas money. So the bookies and Brad want you to play Texas. I say no, 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 no. By the way, Brad, though, he's given you four so far money line games to win outright. He's 3-1, and every one of them winners played plus money. Brad Powers.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back on Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!